The Arabian Nights, the 115th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, 'Hardly had I been in Badr al-Din's shop when the lady came up, followed by a maid and more richly dressed than before. She greeted me instead of Badr al-Din and said to me, "Sir, let someone receive the money." I said, "What is the hurry for the money?" She replied, "My dear, may I never lose you," and handed me the money. Then we sat talking, and I dropped some hints, by which she understood that I desired to have an affair with her. She rose hastily and went away, taking my heart with her. I left the shop and walked in the market, when suddenly a black maid came up to me and said, "My lord, my lady wishes to speak with you." I was surprised and said, "No one knows me here." She said, "My lord, how soon you seem to have forgotten her. My lady is the one who was in the merchant shop today." I walked with her until we came to the lane of the money changers. And when the lady saw me, she drew me aside and said to me, "My dear, you have found a place in my heart. And from the day I first laid eyes on you, I have been unable to eat and drink." I replied, "I feel the same, and my condition speaks for my plight." She asked, "My dear, your place or mine?" I replied, "I am a stranger here, and have no lodging but the caravanserai." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 116th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, 'I have no lodging but the caravanserai. Do me a favor and let me come to your place.'" She replied, "Very well, my lord. Tonight is Friday night, and nothing can be done but tomorrow, after you perform the morning prayer, ride an ass and ask for the house of the syndic Barkut Abu Shama in the Habaniya quarter. And do not delay, for I will be waiting for you." I said, "Very well," and I bade her goodbye. I waited impatiently for morning, and as soon as it was daylight, I arose, put on my clothes, and perfumed myself. Then I took 50 dinars in a handkerchief, and walked from the Masrur Caravanserai to the Zuwayla gate, where I hired an ass, bidding the driver take me to the Habaniya quarter. He set off with me, and in no time brought me to a side street called Al-Taqwa Lane. I bade him go in and inquire about the house of the syndic Barkut, known as Abu Shama, and he disappeared and soon returned and said, "Very well, dismount." I dismounted and said to him, "Guide me to the house so that you can find it when you return tomorrow to take me back to the Masrur Caravanserai." He took me to the house, and I gave him a quarter dinar and bade him go. I knocked at the gate, and there came out two little white maids who said, "Please come in, for our mistress, being overjoyed with you, was unable to sleep last night." I walked through the hallway and came to a hall raised 7 steps above the ground and surrounded by windows overlooking a garden that delighted the eye with running streams and all kinds of fruits and birds. In the middle of the hall there was a square fountain at whose corners stood 4 snakes made of red gold spouting water as if it were jewels and pearls. But morning overtook Shahrazad and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, What a strange and entertaining story. Shahrazad replied, What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I stay alive? The 117th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, I entered the hall, and hardly had I sat down when the lady came up to me, bedecked in fine clothes and ornaments, with a diadem on her head. Her face was made up, and her eyes were penciled. When she saw me, she smiled at me, pressed me hard to her bosom, and, setting her mouth to mine, sucked my tongue, and I did likewise. Then she said, Can it be true, my little lord, that you have indeed come to me? I replied, Yes, I am with you, and I am your slave. She said, By God, since I first saw you, I have enjoyed neither food nor sleep. I said, I have felt the same. Then we sat down to converse while I kept my head bowed. Soon she set before me a tray with the most sumptuous dishes, such as ragu, fricassee, fritters soaked in honey, and chickens stuffed with sugar and pistachio nuts, and we ate until we were satisfied. Then the servants removed the tray, and after we washed our hands and they sprinkled them with rose water scented with musk, we sat down again to converse, and my love for her took such a hold of me that all my wealth seemed little to me in comparison with her. We passed the time in dalliance till nightfall, when the servants set before us a banquet of food and wine, and we sat drinking till midnight. Then we went to bed, and I lay with her till the morning, having never spent a better night. When it was day, I arose, and slipping under the mattress the handkerchief containing the 50 dinars, took my leave of her. She wept and asked, My lord, when shall I see you again? I replied, I will be with you this evening. She saw me to the door and said, My lord, bring our supper with you. When I stepped out, I found the driver with whom I had ridden the previous day waiting for me, and I mounted, and he drove the ass to the caravanserai. I dismounted, but did not pay him, saying, Come back for me at sunset. And he replied, Very well, and went away. After I had a little breakfast, I went out to collect the money from the sale of my merchandise. In the meantime, I ordered a roasted lamb on a bed of rice, as well as some sweets, and, giving a porter directions to the lady's house, sent the food to her. Thus I occupied myself with my business till the end of the day, and when at sunset the driver came for me, I took 50 dinars in a handkerchief, adding 2 quarter dinars, and rode the ass, spurring it on until no time I reached the lady's house. I dismounted and gave the driver 0.5 dinar. Then I entered, and found that the house was better prepared than ever. When she saw me, she kissed me, and said, I have missed you all day long. Then the servant set the table, and we ate until we were satisfied. Then they brought us wine, and we drank till midnight. Then we went to the bedroom, and lay together till daylight. When I arose, I left with her the 50 dinars in the handkerchief, and went out, finding the driver waiting. I rode to the caravanserai, where I slept a while. Then I went out, and bought from a delicatessen a pair of home-grown geese on 2 platters of peppered rice. I also bought colocasia roots, fried and soaked in honey, fruits and nuts, as well as aromatic herbs and candles, and sent them all with a porter to her house. Then I waited impatiently till nightfall, when I again took 50 dinars in a handkerchief and rode with the driver to the house. Again she and I conversed, ate, and lay together. And when I arose in the morning, I again left the handkerchief with her and rode back with the driver to the Masrur Caravanserai. but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 118th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, 'I continued like this, eating and drinking and giving her 50 dinars every night, until one day I found myself penniless. Not knowing where to find money and saying to myself, "There is no power and no strength save in God the Almighty, the Magnificent. This is Satan's doing." I left my lodging at the caravanserai and walked along Bain al-Khazran Street until I came to the Zuwaila Gate, where it was so crowded that the gate was blocked up with people. As it had been foreordained, I found myself pressed against a soldier so that my hand came upon his breast pocket, and I felt a purse inside. I looked, and seeing a green tassel hanging from the pocket, realized that it was attached to the purse. The crush grew greater every moment, and just then a camel bearing a load of wood jostled the soldier on the other side, and he turned to ward it off from him, lest it should tear his clothes. And Satan tempted me, and I pulled the tassel and drew out a little blue silk purse with something clinking inside. Hardly had I held the purse in my hand when the soldier felt something and, touching his pocket with his hand, found it empty. He turned to me and, raising his mace, struck me with it on the head. I fell to the ground while the people gathered around us and, holding the soldier back, asked him, "Is it because he pushed you that you struck him with such a blow?" But he shouted at them with curses and said, "This fellow is a thief." At that moment, I came to myself and got up. And the people looked at me and said, "This nice young man would not steal anything." Some believed him, while others did not, and after much debate, some of them were about to rescue me from him, when the chief of the police and the captain and the watchman entered through the gate and saw the crowd gathered around me and the soldier. The chief asked, "What is the matter?" And they told him what had happened, and the soldier said, "He stole from my pocket a blue silk purse containing 20 dinars." The chief asked him, "Was there anyone else with him?" And the soldier replied, "No." Then the chief cried out to the captain, bidding him seize me. Then he said, "Strip him naked." And when they did so, and found the purse hidden in my clothes, I fell into a swoon. When the chief saw the purse, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 119th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, 'When the chief saw the purse, he seized it and took out the gold coins, and when he counted, he found 20 dinars. He was angry, and yelling at the officers to bring me before him, said to me, "Young man, there is no need to force it out of you if you tell me the truth. Did you steal this purse?" I bowed my head and said to myself, "I cannot deny it, for they found the purse in my clothes. But if I confess, I will be in trouble." At last I raised my head and said, "Yes, I took it." When the chief heard my words, he called for witnesses, and they attested my confession. All of this took place at the Zuwaila Gate. Then he summoned the executioner, who cut off my right hand, and you would have bidden him cut off my foot too, but as the people said to him, "This is a pitiful young man." And as I implored the soldier, who finally took pity on me and interceded for me with him, the chief left me and went away, while the people remained around me and gave me a cup of wine to drink. As for the soldier, he gave me the purse, saying, "You are a nice young man, and it does not become you to be a thief." And he left me and went away. I wrapped my hand in a rag, thrust it into my bosom, and walked until I reached my mistress's house and threw myself on the bed. When she saw that I was pale from the bleeding, she asked, "My darling, what ails you?" I replied, "I have a headache." Worried about me, she said, "Sit up and tell me what has happened to you today, for it is written on your face." When I wept without reply, she said, "It seems as if you are tired of me. For God's sake, tell me what is the matter with you." But even though I kept silent and did not reply, she continued to talk to me till nightfall. Then she brought me food, but I refused it for fear that she would see me eat with my left hand, and I said to her, "I don't care to eat anything." Again she asked, "Tell me what happened to you today, and what is troubling you?" I said, "Must I tell you?" Then she gave me wine to drink, saying, "Drink it, for it will make you feel better and help you tell me what happened." I replied, "If I must, then give me the wine." She drank, gave me the cup, and I took it with my left hand. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 120th Night. I heard, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, "When she gave me the cup, I took it with my left hand with tears in my eyes. She let out a loud cry and said, 'My lord, why do you weep? And why do you hold the cup with your left hand?' I replied, 'I have a boil on my right hand.' She said, 'Put it out, and I will lance it for you.' I replied, 'It is not ready yet.' She kept forcing me to drink until I got drunk and fell asleep. Then she examined my right arm and found it a wrist without a hand. And when she searched me and found the purse and my severed hand wrapped in a handkerchief, she grieved for me and lamented till the morning. When I awoke, I found that she had made me a dish of broth of 5 boiled chickens, and after I ate some and drank a cup of wine, I laid down the purse and was about to go out when she said to me, 'Where are you going? Sit down.' Then she added, 'Has your love for me been so great that you have spent all your substance on me until you finally lost even your hand? I pledge to you that I will die nowhere but at your feet, and you shall soon see the truth of my words.' Then she sent for witnesses and drew up a marriage contract, saying, 'Write down that everything I own belongs to this young man.' After she paid the witnesses their fee, she took me by the hand and, leading me to a chest, said to me, 'Look at all these handkerchiefs inside. They contain all the money you brought me. Take your money back, for I can never reward you enough for your precious and dear self,' repeating, 'Take your money.' I locked the money in the chest, forgetting my sorrow and feeling happy, and thanked her. She said to me, 'By God, even if I gave my life for you, it would be less than you deserve.' We lived together, but in less than a month she fell ill and continued to get worse because of her grief for me. And in less than 50 days, she was dead. After I buried her, I found that she had left me countless bequests, including the storeroom and the crop of sesame that you, Christian, sold for me. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this, compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 121st night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the Christian broker told the king of China that the young man said, 'It was because I was busy selling the rest of the goods that I did not have the time to pay attention to you and receive my money from you. But now I have at last sold everything she left me. This then is the reason why I ate with my left hand. Now, by God, Christian, you must not object to what I am about to do, for I have entered your home and eaten your food. I make you a present of all the money you are holding for me from the sale of the sesame, for it is only a portion of what the Supreme God has bestowed on me.' The young man added, 'Christian, I have prepared a load of merchandise for trading. Will you go aboard with me?' I replied, 'Yes, indeed,' and agreed to go with him at the beginning of the month. Then, after I too bought merchandise, I set out with the young man until we came to your city, O king, where he bought merchandise and went back to Egypt. But it was my lot to stay here. This, then, is my adventure and strange story. Isn't it, O king, more amazing than the hunchback story?' The king of China replied, 'No, it is not more amazing than the hunchback story, and I must hang all four of you for the hunchback's death.' Then the steward of the king's kitchen came forward and said to the king of China, 'O happy king, if I tell you a story that happened to me last night before I found the hunchback in my house, and you find it to be more amazing than the hunchback story, will you grant us our lives and let us go?' The king of China replied, 'Yeah, if I find it to be more amazing than the story of the hunchback, I will grant all four of you your lives.'" The Steward's Tale, The Young Man from Baghdad, and Lady Zubaydah's Maid. The steward said, "O King of the Age, last night I was invited to hear a recitation of the Quran, where the doctors of the law, as well as a great many citizens of your city, were assembled. After the reciters finished their recitation, the table was spread, and among the dishes set before us there was a ragu spiced with cumin. But when one of the guests saw the ragu, he held back and abstained from eating. We entreated him to eat of the ragu, but he swore that he would not, and we pressed him until he said, 'Don't force me to eat, for I have suffered enough from eating this dish.' Then he repeated the following verses: 'Shoulder your drum, my man, and leave your home, and use the coal if 'tis the coal you like.' We said to him, 'Tell us the reason of your refusal to eat of the ragu.' And as the host insisted, saying, 'I swear that you must eat of it,' the guest replied, 'There is no power and no strength save in God. If I must eat, then I will first have to wash my hands 40 times with soap, 40 times with potash, and 40 times with galangale, all in all 120 times.'" But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "What a strange and entertaining new story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 122nd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, It is related, O happy king, that the steward said to the king, O king of the age, the host ordered his servants to bring the guest water and all that he required to wash his hands, and he washed his hands as he had said. Then he came reluctantly and sat down with us, as if in fear, and dipping his hand into the ragu, began to eat, but with repugnance, while we looked at him with surprise, for his hand, and indeed his whole body, was shaking, and we noticed that his thumb was cut off, and that he ate with four fingers only, so that the food kept slipping awkwardly from his hand. We asked him in amazement, What happened to your thumb? Did God create you like this? Or did you have an accident? He replied, By God, it is not only this thumb that is missing, but also that of the other hand, and the great toe of each of my feet, as you will see. And he bared his left hand and his two feet, and we saw that the left hand was like the right, and that each of his feet lacked the great toe. When we saw this, our amazement increased, and we said to him, We're impatient to hear your story, and the reason for cutting off your thumbs and toes, and for washing your hands 120 times. He said, My father was one of the most prominent merchants of Baghdad in the days of the Caliph Harun al-Rashid, but he was fond of wine and the lute, so that when he died he left me nothing. I held a mourning ceremony for him, arranged for recitations of the Quran, and continued to mourn for him for a long time. Then I opened the shop and found that he had left little substance and many debts. So I arranged with his creditors to pay them in instalments, and I began to buy and sell and to pay the creditors week by week, until at last I paid off all his debts and began to increase my capital. One day, as I was sitting in the shop early in the morning, there came to the market a beautiful young lady, the like of which I had never seen before, richly dressed and bedecked with jewellery. She was riding a she-mule, with one black slave walking before and another behind her. She dismounted, and leaving the she-mule by the entrance, entered the market. No sooner had she done so, when a well-groomed eunuch followed her and said, My lady, go in, but don't let anyone recognize you, or we will be in trouble. Then he stood guard before her, while she looked at the shops, and finding none open but mine, came up to my shop followed by the eunuch, greeted me, and sat down. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, Sister, what an entertaining story. Shahrazad replied, What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live? The 123rd Night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that the steward told the king of China that the young merchant said, She sat in my shop and unveiled her face, and when I saw it, I sighed. Then she asked me, Do you have any fabrics? I replied, My lady, your servant is poor, but wait until the other merchants open their shops, and I will get you whatever you wish. We sat talking for a while, and I was beginning to feel an overwhelming passion for her. When the merchants opened their shops, I rose and got her everything she wished to the value of 5,000 dirhams. She gave the fabrics to the eunuch and went back to the slaves who brought her the she-mule, and she mounted and rode away without telling me where she lived. Being too embarrassed to mention money before such a beautiful woman, I vouched to the merchants for the value of the goods, incurring a debt of 5,000 dirhams. Then I went home, drunk with love, and for a week was unable to eat or drink or sleep. A week later, the merchants came to me asking for their money, but I persuaded them to wait and as soon as another week passed, the lady came up riding the she-mule and followed, as usual, by the eunuch and the two slaves. She greeted me, and sitting down in the shop said, "I am late in bringing you the money for the fabrics. Fetch a money-changer and receive the amount." I sent for the money-changer, and the eunuch counted out the money and gave it to him. Then she and I sat talking until the shops opened, at which time I paid every merchant what I owed him. Then she said to me, "Sir, get me such and such." And I got her what she wanted from the merchants, and she took it and went away without saying a word about payment. I began to regret what I had done, for the price of what I had bought for her was 1,000 dinars, and I said to myself, "What a predicament! She's given me 5,000 dirhams, but has taken 1,000 dinars worth of goods, and the merchants know only me. There is no power and no strength save in God the Almighty, the Magnificent. This woman who tricked me must be a swindler, and I did not even ask her for her address." She was gone for more than a month, and the merchants began to press me for their money, and finally, despairing of ever seeing her again, I put up my property for sale. But one day, while I sat dejected and perplexed, she came in, and sitting in the shop said, "Fetch the scales and take your money." Then she gave me the money and sat, conversing freely with me until I was beside myself with joy. Then she asked me, "Do you have a wife?" I replied, "No, I have never been married," and began to weep. She asked, "Why do you weep?" I replied, "It is nothing." Then, giving the eunuch some money, I asked him to act as my go-between with her. But he laughed and said, "By God, she's more in love with you than you are with her. She had no need for the fabric she bought from you, but only did it out of love for you. Tell her yourself what you want." She had seen me giving the eunuch the money, so I said to her, "Be charitable, and permit your servant to tell you what is on his mind." Then I told her what was on my mind, and she assented and said to the eunuch, "You shall carry my message to him," and saying to me, "Do whatever he asks you," went away. I paid the merchants what I owed them, and spent a sleepless night. A few days later, the eunuch came to me. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then her sister Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 125th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O king, that the steward told the king of China that the young man said, 'When the eunuch came, I treated him generously, and when I asked him about his mistress, he replied, "She is pining with love for you." Then I asked him, "Who is she?" And he said, "She is one of the waiting women who is charged with errands for the lady Zubaydah, the wife of the caliph who brought her up. By God, she told her lady about you and begged her to marry her to you. But the lady Zubaydah said, 'I will not marry you to him until I see whether he is handsome and whether he's a match for you. I will take you to the palace at once, and if you succeed in entering without being seen, you may win her in marriage. But if you're found out, you will lose your head. What do you say?'" I replied, "I am ready to go with you." Then he said, "As soon as it is night, go to the mosque built by the Lady Zubaydah on the Tigris River." I replied, "Very well." Then I went to the mosque, where I performed my evening prayer and passed the night. Just before daybreak, there came up some servants in a boat with some empty chests, which they deposited in the mosque, and departed. but one of them stayed behind, and when I looked at him closely, I found that he was the eunuch who had come to me earlier. Soon my lady herself came in, and when she drew near, I rose to greet her, and she sat to converse with me with tears in her eyes. Then she bade me get into one of the chests and locked me in. Then the eunuchs came back with all sorts of things that she kept stowing in the chests, until she had filled them all and locked them. Then they placed the chests in the boat and headed downstream to the palace of the Lady Zubaydah. I soon began to regret what I had done, saying to myself, "By God, I'm undone," and kept weeping and praying to God to deliver me until the boat reached the gate of the Caliph's palace. Then the eunuchs lifted out the chests, including mine, and carrying them past the eunuchs in charge of guarding the harem until they came to a eunuch who seemed to be their chief. He started up from sleep. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then her sister Dinarzad said, "Sister, what an entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 126th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the steward told the king of China that the young man said, 'The chief of the eunuchs started up from sleep and cried out to the young lady, "Don't delay, you must open these chests." It so happened that the chest he was about to start with was the one in which I was. And when they brought it to him, I lost my senses and in my panic wet myself until my urine began to run out of the chest. Then the young lady said, "Chief, you have ruined me and ruined many merchants by spoiling the belongings of the Lady Zubaydah, for the chest contains coloured dresses and a jar of Zamzam water. The jar has just tipped over, and the water will make the colours run." The chief of the eunuchs said, "Take the chest and go." But hardly had the eunuchs carried me and hurried away with all the other chests, when I heard a voice crying, "Oh my! Oh my! The Caliph! The Caliph!" When I heard this, my heart died within me. Then I heard the Caliph ask the young lady, "Hey, you! What is in these chests of yours?" She replied, "Clothes, for the Lady Zubaydah." He said, "Open them, and let me see." And when I heard this, I knew that I was undone. Then I heard the young lady say, "O Commander of the Faithful, these chests contain the clothes and belongings of the Lady Zubaydah, and she does not wish their contents to be seen by anyone." But the Caliph said, "You must open these chests so that I may see what is in them. Bring them to me." When I heard the Caliph say, "Bring them to me," I was sure of death. Then the eunuchs brought the chests up, opening them one after another, and he kept looking at the clothes and belongings until there remained only the chest in which I was hiding. They carried me and let me down before him, and I bade life goodbye, being certain that I was going to lose my head and die. The Caliph said, "Open the chest, so that I may see what is in it." And the eunuch rushed to open the chest. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?"